Sister Lily Alton is here today. She called me yesterday. Her husband called and said they gave their condolences about my mother passing away and wanted to know if I needed somebody to take my place today. And I had seriously thought about it. But here's what I thought. Shut that door, brother. Here's what I thought. Every time I went to the nursing home, my mama had forgotten a lot of things. But she never forgot this. She would introduce me to people, and she said, "This is my son. He's a preacher." So, Mama, I'm preaching. Romans 1:16, as we celebrate today, and I'm gonna, don't worry, I'll get it together in just a minute, okay? Romans chapter 1, verse 16, if you have it. It's our 12th anniversary. And I wanted to say a little bit today about who we are. Can you hear me all right with this? And let's work on that. I'll give you $1 to work on this, get it fixed today, okay? but I thought as we celebrated today, our church is a little different. We're a little different than today's churches. And some people like that, some don't. But I thought about the Apostle Paul when he wrote in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. His whole ministry was a ministry of struggle. You wouldn't call him for your pastor. If you looked at his resume, he'd been put in jail several times. He'd been stoned, left for dead. Everywhere he went, he stirred people up. Some, the ones that didn't love him hated him. And so I thought, well, what a better place to find reason to celebrate. Because when he died, he said, "I've kept the faith. I've run my race." And he said, "There's laid up for me a crown in heaven." And so when I think about our church, I think about people like that who are running their race, who are keeping the faith, who will get crowns when they get to heaven. So look at me, verse 16, if you will. He said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is," what is that? The gospel of Christ. "For it is," that's what does it, not him. Romans, look at it. "The power of God unto salvation." The gospel of Christ. That's the power of God. Not the preacher. Not the singer. It's the gospel. To what? It's the power of God unto salvation. That's how people are saved. They're not saved by singing. They're not saved by entertainment. They're not saved by personalities or people. They're saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. To the Jew first and also to the Greek, anybody. The whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. The whosoever, the rich, the poor, the black, the white, the red, the yellow, any race, any level of society, whosoever will. That's who can get saved by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what our church is founded on. And today I want to talk to you just a little bit about why we're here and why God's blessed us, and He has. Amen. Paul lived in a heathen world. We do. Paul lived in a hateful world. We do. Paul lived in a dangerous world. We do. But he was unashamed of Jesus Christ. Amen. He was unashamed of the gospel. Yes. I think for 12 years we've celebrated the not being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, when I was a lost sinner, I wasn't ashamed of being a lost sinner. That's what I was. I didn't know anything else. I wasn't raised in church. Nobody ever witnessed to me, as far as I know, of plain witnessing. Before I went to church, Eastside Baptist Church, heard that gospel message that day. That God didn't hate me, He loved me. And He sent His Son to die in my place. I, that I couldn't and shouldn't even try to live up to that, just receive that. And I did. 3 years later, I received that. And I've not been ashamed of that gospel since. I've lost a lot of friends over it. You probably have too. I've lost positions and work and jobs and salaries and had misunderstandings, all such things as that. And you probably have too. But I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It'll reach down to the lowest hell and it'll go up to the highest heaven. That's the only thing on, that's the most powerful thing on planet Earth. It's the power of God unto salvation. It does something nothing else can do. It'll save a sinful soul. It'll cover sins that no one else wants to cover. It'll wash away things that nobody else wants to wash away. It'll remove things that bleach won't even get rid of. Amen? Now I'm telling you, we're celebrating that today, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank God for what he's done. Thank God for people he sent. Some's come, some's gone. I saw Brother Munro on there twice. Some of you remember Brother Munro. That was my black grandpa. He said he adopted me as his grandson. Went visiting with me. One of the boldest witnesses I've met in my life. He'd look at somebody and say, "Boy, you're going to go to hell." He didn't beat around the bush. He didn't hold no punches. He wasn't running for office. He didn't care what you thought about it. I took him to see these people one day, and a teenage boy come out there with his breeches hanging down to his knees so we could see his underwear. I wanted to say, "Boy, I don't want to see your underwear. I don't even like the pants you got on, much less the underwear." He looked at me, he said, "Boy," it was a young black man. He said, "Boy, you need to pull those britches up. Put your belt on. You need to be a man." He wasn't scared. He said, "You need to get saved. You're going to hell." And the boy said, "I ain't going to hell." He said, "You look like you're going to hell." Unashamed. Had a guy come in, wanted to be a deacon. And I told him, I said, "You don't qualify to be a deacon. You can't even join the church. You're shacking up." Do y'all still know what that means?
Yes.
Read the paper. You'll figure it out. Most babies are born out of wedlock. That's called shacking up where I come from. And for you people from up north, it's cohabitating. We know English, we just don't use it. Amen. I said, "Mr. Munro, I'm having a problem here, and I'm afraid I'm going to be called a racist or something. This man, he's living with a white woman, which is fine with me. There's no races in the Bible, but the Jew and Gentile, I don't care who gets married as long as they're male and female." You got that point, didn't you? And I said, "But he's black, and he's going to accuse me of being racist and bigoted, and you know I'm not." He said, "I know you're not." He said, "Don't worry about it, I'll come." He came in and sat down with that man. That man began to, and by the way, this man was, we call it hitting on women. He would shake hands and whisper things in their ears. We got 3 complaints. And so I confronted him, and he said, "You're just a racist, that's all." I said, "Mr. Munro, will you step in right here?" He said, "This ain't got a thing to do with that, boy." He said, "You're an adulterer." He said, and "unless you go to apologizing to people around here, you out of here." I said, "Thank you, Brother Munro. Enough said." Of course, he left, and some other church made him deacon. Yeah, they did. But that's the world we live in.
Yes.
And the world we live in now thinks that the church is the Salvation Army. We're not the Salvation Army. That's been ruined. We're the old-fashioned, Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church, and that's why God blesses this group of people right here. So I thought about that. What was he unashamed of? The same things that we haven't been ashamed of for 12 years. Now, everybody doesn't like us. I know everybody's not going to stay. It'll come. I know some will come and think it's the greatest thing since popcorn. That first we've had people join on the first service. "This is where I belong. Boy, I feel God here." And 3 weeks later, you couldn't find them with a magnifying glass because they were mad at the preacher. But there's some things we shouldn't be ashamed of as Christians. Say amen right there. And so I got to think, what was it Paul was not be ashamed of? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 describes the gospel. Some people like to kind of water it down and say, well, that's good news. That's what that word means. Yeah, but the good news about what? There's a lot of good news. The economy's going up. That ain't the gospel. That's good news. People's going back to work. They're not losing their houses anymore. That's not the gospel, but that's good news. People get sick. They come here, we anoint them with oil. A lot of times, not every time, but a lot of times they get healed. That's good news.
Amen.
People here love people. You'll never find a better loving bunch than this bunch right here.
Amen.
And people may leave here not like me, but they won't leave here not like the people. You weren't supposed to say that's right there. You? I got you. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is described by Paul himself in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 5. The Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Ghost now, he said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand." He said, you got saved by this, and it'll keep you saved. "By which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain." Some people say they believe it, but they don't know what they're talking about, and you'll miss them. They'll be gone. They really didn't believe. They believed in vain. Verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." He said, this is how I got saved. That's what I gave you, how I received, what I received. He said, "How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Not feelings, fact, the Scriptures. "And that He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Not science, not popular opinion, the Scriptures. Verse 5, "And that He was seen of Cephas and then of the 12, and after that He was seen of over 500 brethren, alive and well, walking around after the resurrection." He said, now that's what you received. That's the power of God. It raised Him. He kept His promise. He said, they'll crucify me, but I'll be back in 3 days, and I'll raise up. And He did that. And He said, now if you believe on me, you'll have everlasting life. You'll never die. You'll go to heaven. You'll live long as God lives. God would have to die for me to die. My mama passed away the other day very peacefully. And at first, old flesh said, she's dead. But then my spirit said, no, she's alive forevermore. That's what we received. That's the gospel. That's the whole gospel. That's the full gospel. There is no other gospel that will take you to heaven. There's a lot of good news, but there's not any other news that's going to save you and keep you out of a sinner's hell. You're going to have to come to Jesus Christ, turn from your sins, turn to Him, ask Him to save you, receive Him as your Savior. John 1:12, as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. Now, that's what Paul preached. Now, that's been our message. The church we came from, Independent Bible Baptist Church, which is not there anymore. I guess the gospel changed there. I don't know. But we haven't changed.
Amen.
And that's been our message. And as long as I'm living, that will be our message. And I believe as long as most of you are living, that will be our message.
That's right.
The gospel is the most powerful thing on planet Earth. I preached in jails and seen men weep and cry like little babies. Just weep and cry and mourn and come to Christ and be gloriously saved. I've seen, as y'all have, some of you that work in the nursing home ministry, I've preached in nursing homes, and I've seen people with dementia or other things, their memory wasn't good, but you preach the gospel and they wake up. And they become a part of the service. They've not been a part of anything all week. But all of a sudden, the power of God comes into the room through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Yeah. I used to preach at the Catawba nursing home. We called it the county poorhouse down here behind Bowwaters. They don't call it that anymore, so I was searching for the new name, but I don't care. Bowwaters. And had one man, he walked around like this all the time. And if you'd shake his hand, you'd pick it up, and he'd just drop it. And if you spoke to him, he wouldn't look at you. He'd just look down, and he'd walk. And he walked. I don't know why, but that's just what he did. He'd walk up one hall, down the other, out that hall, back out that hall. And I'd get in the cafeteria, and I'd preach. And I didn't notice it at first, but after a few weeks, I noticed the man had walked into the dining room behind me. I was preaching at a counter there at the kitchen. They were sitting at tables. There was more back behind me. And I heard something back there, and I looked back there. And while I was preaching, this same man who would do this, he was doing this and on his knees. He was down on his knees, and he was doing this, and he was crying. And as soon as the service was over, he dropped his hands back down, and he walked. Now, that's the power of the gospel. It will not just wake up some damaged mind, but it'll wake up a damaged soul. That man was worshiping from his soul. His mind didn't know what was going on, but his soul knew what was going on. And somewhere in his life, he had received the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he'd been born again. And when the gospel was preached, it turned the light on in his soul, and he began to worship the God of heaven that had saved his soul. I wish I didn't get to stay around long enough. Don't know if he's still living or not, but I'd like to preach that funeral of that man. Amen? That's what we preach. Now, because of that, we've got to have a sure foundation. Well, Pastor, how do you know this is what you're supposed to preach? Turn to 2 Peter 1:21 real quick. I would say I wasn't going to keep you long, but I am because we're feeding you. It's funny how people go to a restaurant and wait in line for 45 minutes to get a table. But they go to church, stay 45 minutes, they get upset. I preached in a church named Catfish Baptist Church one time. Old church founded in 1800, full of people, rich people, rich people. It was really a museum. It wasn't a church anymore. It was a museum. Everything there had died. But anyway, I preached, and the old deacon told me, he said, now if you preach past 12, people's going to get up and walk out on you. I said, well, they might as well start walking, because once I get started, it's hard for me to find a stopping place. So today, if you want to eat, you're going to have to stay. Captive audience. Amen. Yeah. 1 Peter 1:21. 1 Peter, if you got to go, that's fine. We won't think bad of you. We'll give you a popsicle next time. Verse 21, 2 Peter 1:21, he said, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Look at this. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's what they spake. There it is. We have an inerrant, infallible, incorruptible, and I'd say uncorrectable Word of God that stands for sure forever. It'll never change. Jesus said that. He said not one jot nor one tittle would pass away. And now you're going to do whatever you want to do. You can buy today's latest version. There's 116 English version. That's all confusion. Why don't you just get your Bible like your grandma had and sit there and read it. You say, well, I don't understand these and thous. I wouldn't say that if I was you. You can write a note. You went to school. South Carolina people might not be the smartest people in the town, but I think we can figure out who thee and thou are, don't you?
Yes.
Amen. Besides that, that's the book for over 400 years that stayed here. Look, I'm not going to go to 16 different... And by the way, I don't need commentators. I got a Bible. I got some commentations of my own. Amen. I read the book. The Holy Spirit translates it. If he don't, he will later when I'm reading somewhere else. Amen. Get you a Bible. We stand on that here. We were founded on the Word of God. Our mother church was named Independent Bible Baptist Church. Bible. Now, we believe the Bible. Like the old country preacher said, we believe it from kiver to kiver. We even believe the kiver where it says Holy Bible. Amen. Amen. Now, you say, well, it's out of date. No. Heaven and earth pass away, he said, but my words, plural, shall never pass away. Now, we stand on that. For 12 years, we've stood on the gospel. Now, if you don't have an inerrant Bible, who's to say that what you're reading is not errant?
Come on now. Amen.
If there's mistakes in the Bible, which we don't believe there are, if there's mistakes in the Bible, well, how do you know the verse you're reading is not a mistake? All right, who's, Brother Ron, who's going to be the final authority? Who's going to say what's the mistake, what is not, what's true, what's untrue, what's fable, what's not? Who are you going to put in that place? You going back to the Pope? No, the Baptist always said no hope in the Pope. The man needs to get saved just like you do. Amen. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but you and all those priests, they rounding up for molesting children, they need to get saved too. Amen. Yes, I said that. Amen. And I got me a hat that says I ain't scared. Somebody brought me a ball cap and on the front it says I ain't scared. AINTSKERD or something. I ain't scared. But look, we've got to have a final authority. And we've stood on this Bible as the final authority. We don't have to go to Tennessee to the Southern Baptist headquarters. We ain't got to go there. We don't have to go to Columbia to the South Carolina headquarters. We don't have to go across the street. We've got the inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God. Those are not inspired, okay? Those are not inspired. Now we stand on that. You'll never hear a preacher stand up here and say, the Bible says this, but. God said it. That settles it. Whether we believe it or not. We don't put a question mark where God puts a period. Amen. And when I first got saved, my wife had grew up in Presbyterian church, and for a birthday or something, her parents had given her a Bible like you do, you know. And I got saved. I'd never owned a Bible. I'd never read a Bible. Really? We had a family Bible on the coffee table. Y'all remember those? Yeah. But that was for keeping locks of hair and four-leaf clovers in. Y'all remember that? Nobody read that book. They had Bible reading at school over the intercom, but no kid listens to that. No kid. I didn't know anything about the Bible. So the pastor said, I went to the pastor a couple of weeks after I got saved. I said, Pastor, this is exciting. I want to know what goes on around here. I want to know. He said, well, we have Sunday school. I said, what's Sunday school? He said, that's where you go and you go in graded classes to learn the Bible. I said, well, I have to start at the first grade. He said, no, you won't have to start at first grade. I said, well, I have to take tests. He said, no, you won't have to take no tests. Just go in there and sit down and listen. I said, okay, I can do that. He said, then we got morning preaching. So I got that. He said, we got night preaching. I said, churches go to church at night. By the way, a lot of Baptists sort of hear that too. And we got night. I said, I'll be here. What else got? Well, we got training union. Y'all remember training union? The old training union? We'd come early on Sunday night and get trained to be teachers and stuff. They got rid of that. And then we got Wednesday night, prayer meeting, Bible study. I said, I will be here. I will be here. And so he preached out of the Bible. We studied out of the Bible. A man in that church brought me tapes of preachers and booklets and stuff about the inerrant, inspired, infallible Bible. King James, in case you hadn't caught on to what I'm saying. And so my wife had a Revised Standard Version. Y'all thought I lost my place, didn't you? My wife had a Revised Standard Version. And we would be in Sunday school, and the Sunday school teacher, they were studying the book of Acts. I'll never forget it. It just blew my mind, Paul in the book of Acts. And so, and Peter and all the rest of them, you know. He would open up the Acts, whatever. We would open up my wife's Bible, Revised Standard Version, and it would say, older and better manuscripts leave out verses 4, 7, 12, and 13, and they wouldn't even be in there. And there's a lot of those Bibles like that.
Amen. Yes.
So finally, after about 3 weeks, I looked at my wife. I said, we need a whole Bible.
Amen.
I said, we don't need a condensed version. We need a whole Bible. And by the way, who said to leave those verses out? So we went down to the bookstore. And we walked in Old Shepherd's Fold when it was in that house. Y'all remember that? If you nod your head, I don't know how old you are. It was in that old house, Shepherd's Fold. You know, you go in, that guy says, peace. I grew up in the 60s. I used to say that, but I got peace now, you know. But So we go in there, and I said, I want to get a Bible. He said, what kind of Bible? Let me show you this one. It was sale of the week, you know, a new, better, improved version, you know. And he showed me that. I said, no, that's not what we look for. And then he showed me another, new and improved, better this, better that, you know. And I said, no, that don't sound like what my pastor uses. I said, I want what my pastor uses. I didn't know. And my wife walked over there. She said, he wants a Thomas Nelson center column reference King James Bible. The man got mad at her. He was going to lose that big sale of the week, you know. Well, we got some of them. They way back there in the corner. You don't know why they aren't. Oh, shut up. Went and got a Bible. And I've been reading the Bible since. And who are you or anybody else to correct the Bible? I went to Bible college. When I got to Bible college, I thought, because I told my pastor, I said, I need to go to Bible college. He sent me to the associational director. That was a mistake. And he said, well, you got to go to night school to get your high school diploma. I said, I can get a GED. He said, no, you got to do it the hard way. And then you go to junior college for 2 years and then come back. If you still want to do it, we'll send you to 1 hour of liberal arts. I said, I don't need to know anything about art. That's a joke. We'll send you 1 hour liberal arts school. And then after 4 years, when you graduate there, if you still want to go, we'll send you to 1 hour seminaries. And then after 4 years there, if you still want to preach, we'll help you get a church. I said, that's 10 years. Everybody I know will be dead and in hell in 10 years. He said, well, we got this one place up in the mountains, and the older men go, and they got children, they work a job. I was 24. I said, that's me. I went up there and I thought, boy, I'm going to learn the Bible. And I'd be doggone. If half the classes, they would say, older, better manuscripts don't include this. Older, better manuscripts say this. And then finally, I went to my pastor. I said, the church was paying for it. I said, I can't go there no more. He said, why? And I told him the story. And he said, wait a minute, son. It's like anything else. It's like eating chicken. You eat the meat and spit out the bones. I said, that may be so, but y'all are paying for the bones and the meat. Amen. I'm not going there anymore. And I lost a lot of friends. But I ended up going to Blessed Hope Baptist Bible Institute, where they taught the Bible. They didn't correct the Bible.
Amen.
Now, wow. Preachers spend a lot of time on this. It's important. It's important we know we have a Bible that we can trust. And you don't need a pope or a bishop or a preacher or an evangelist or even a pastor to explain it. You just read the Bible and believe what it says. You say, I don't understand it. Keep reading. It'll come to you later on. The Lord will say, this is what I was talking about way back yonder. And here's what I look at. If somebody dumb as I am can understand it, anybody ought to be able to. I grew up in Lancaster, man. South side of Lancaster, where they kill each other. So here we are, 12 years old. We're still preaching the same Bible.
Yep.
Amen. Thank you for that. I needed that. I'm not going to go there, but Jude 22 and 23 says, and having compassion on some, making a difference. Thank God that God puts compassion in the hearts of believers. If you don't have compassion for unbelievers, you don't feel sorry for people dying and going to hell, walking around this world lost and destroying their own lives. If you don't feel sorry for them and have compassion on them, I really doubt if the Holy Spirit lives in you, because He does. Now, our church is a compassionate church. We love people. We don't hate anybody. We don't have an agenda. People say, well, you must hate this group, hate that group, because you don't agree with them. And and by the way, this is the way it is in the world today. We're supposed to agree with all these groups that they're okay, and then we're supposed to join in celebrating that they're okay, even if the Bible says it's not okay. Come on, don't die on me now. But we're to love people, no matter who they are. Love people. And what you do is you love them like Christ loved you when you were blind and deaf and dumb spiritually. You love people. It doesn't matter where they come from, where are they going? And having compassion on some. He's making a difference. You know why I got saved at Eastside Baptist Church with Bully Pastor Falkenberry preaching? Because he had compassion. He wept.
Yeah, come on now. Yeah.
He didn't give a book report every Sunday. He stood up and he wept over sinners, and I felt like he was weeping over me. And every time I looked up, that old fat finger was pointing right at me. It really wasn't. That's just the way I felt. He'd be pointing over here, and I'd look up, and I'd think, he's talking about me. Every sermon, compassionate, loving, please don't go to hell, please don't die without Christ. We've got to have that. I believe we do. I was witnessing in the parking lot over here. The motel's torn down now over on Anderson Road. I don't even remember the name of it there. It's on the corner. And there's about six of us up there because that's where the transient people went, you know, people passing through town begging for money and doing drugs. And so we went up there and we just knocked on doors and witnessing. And I walked up this young black lady there in the parking lot, a beautiful young lady, probably in her 30s. And I told her who I was, where I was from. She interrupted me. She said, "You wouldn't want me to come to your church." I thought she was talking about being black. I said, "You're wrong. You're wrong. We have black people in our church." She said, "That's not what I mean." She said, "My girlfriend's right up yonder." I said, "I don't care who your girlfriend is." She said, "You wouldn't want us to come." I said, "I'm inviting you to come." She said, "You wouldn't want us there." I said, "We want you there." I said, "Because that's where you're going to hear the truth. That's where you're going to get the help." She said, "Then you agree with the way we live?" I said, "No, ma'am, I don't agree with the way you live. The Bible doesn't agree with the way you live." I said, "But I tell you, your problem, you're looking for somebody to love you. And you've looked in the wrong place. And if you'll come to Jesus, he'll love you." I said, "This drug-crazed crowd living over here, drunk and drug-crazed and all, they don't love you." Well, to have compassion on people. I'm glad they did me. Amen. And then we'll have, listen, as a church, we'll have, we still believe in. We're not ashamed of our Christian homes.
Amen.
Come on. No. Whatever happened to the old-fashioned Christian home with a mother and a father and children that loved Christ, loved the church, loved one another? 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, he says, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." Whatever happened to old-fashioned Christian homes that recognize Jesus Christ as their only hope and their only foundation and are not ashamed of that? We go to work. We go to work and people invite you to work, to parties and things. You'll say, "I can't go to that. I'm not going to be able to make it." And you won't tell them why. You won't say, "I'm a Christian. My family doesn't go to alcoholic parties. And my home's a Christian home, and we don't participate in things like that you're about to do." Because you're afraid you're going to offend people. And you will. But as a Christian father, it's my responsibility to guard my home. When I got saved, right after I got saved, my friends, before I got saved, they would gather at my house. They'd come up from lunch, they'd gather at my house and drink and cuss and smoke and throw up, you know. And after I got saved, I told them all. I said, "Look here, I love y'all. You're my friends. But I got saved. I'm not like that anymore. And you can come to my house on Sunday if you want to, like you've been doing. But you're not bringing that stuff in my house anymore."
Amen.
I said, "My children don't need to see that anymore." Lost every friend I had. Well, not every friend I had. I gained a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. What not be ashamed of our Christian homes? I know the hour's long, but listen to me. What not be ashamed of our Christian homes? I'll tell you how to stop the Jehovah false witnesses. They are. We're the real Jehovah's Witnesses. They're the false.
Right.
Put you a tag on your front door like I got and say, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord."
Yeah.
They'll leave you alone. Put your sign up in the front yard that says Cornerstone Baptist Church. They'll avoid you like the flu. They come to my house, they'll say, we want to talk to you about church. I said, you don't go to church. You go to Kingdom Hall. Right. Well, that's church. I said, no. I said, you don't want to talk to me. I'm going to make you mad. Oh, you can't make us mad. Oh. 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 With all the Christianity in me, So finally, I shortened it way down instead of arguing with them. I said, you got your Bible? They said, yeah. I said, turn to 1 John 5:11-13. And Charles Taz Russell and the other one who translated those false scriptures and rearranged them, they missed this. And to abbreviate for sake of time, it says, this is written so you may know.
Yes.
I hope so, believe so, work so, give out enough books, sell enough books. But this is written so you may know that you have eternal life.
Amen.
And he that has the Son has life. And he that had not the Son of God had not life. I said, now turn it over to John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Not even them that sell books, knock on doors. I'm not against knocking on doors. I'm for it, but not with you. And but as many as received him. I'll give him a testimony. Marchfield, 1978, 6 pew on the left-hand side, just as I am, the 300th verse. I walked down that aisle, I received Christ. I ain't never been the same. They said, we got to go. And then they went down to Kingdom Hall after about twice. They put me on that goat list. They don't come to my house anymore. I do the same thing with Mormons, by the way. But we'll not be ashamed to have Christian homes, folks. The world is intimidating Christians. The world is harassing Christians. You might have to pay a cost. You might have to pay a price for having a Christian home. But let me tell you something. After 43 years, it's worth it all in my house.
Amen.
That's what we're not ashamed of. We're not ashamed of the church. Ephesians 5 said the church is the body and the bride of Jesus Christ. We're not taking church off the name. You hear me?
Amen.
Not long as I'm here.
Amen.
You can vote to do it. I'll go out the door with the name church.
Amen.
Not ashamed of the church. I'll get a little more particular. Not ashamed of being Baptist.
Amen.
I've studied this thing, and most people won't take time to do it, so if God gives you a pastor to do it, I've studied the history of the church. I can tell you where all denominations came from. After I got saved, I went to the library and got all the books on all denominations, so I wanted to make sure I was in the right church. And it described all of them, and it gave all the names of all the founders till it got to Baptist. And then it apologized for being the poor old Baptist, poor ignorant people. They have only one book, the Bible.
Amen.
They have one leader, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They have varied denominational ties, but they believe in the local church alone.
Amen.
Now, we're not ashamed of that. If you're ashamed of that, you might better go somewhere else because this is a Baptist church. I tell people, I've had people come in, you know, and cause you a new church, people visit and things like that, and they'll say stuff, you know, and I'll say, well, wait a minute. When you come in here, did you not see that sign said Baptist? Then why are you wanting me to teach all this other stuff? We're Baptists. We got a Bible. We're not doing that stuff. And they get mad and leave, which was fine. How can two walk together except they be? But I'm not ashamed of church. We're not. Hey, look, it's not an entertainment center. Hello.
Amen.
We have good singers, but the singing is not the focus. The Word of God is. Jesus Christ is. And then last but not least, and some of you's going, phew, man, I brought people with me. Revelation 21, look at verse 1, if you will, and I'm going to read this scripture, and we'll go to eat, and then you can ask the Lord to forgive you. Revelation 21, look at verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. I like this. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death. Thank God. Hallelujah. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write that. Write. Write. He said, Write it down. For these words are true and faithful. Now, I'm not ashamed of my final destination. I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to apologize for that. If that upsets you, maybe you ought to get on the same train. You're on the same bus, whatever you think it is. You come to Christ, you won't be ashamed of going to heaven either. I don't apologize for to people for me being saved. I don't do that. Hey, I am happy and proud to be a child of God that's getting to go to heaven. Yeah. Not undeserving. I don't deserve it.
That's right.
It's just the grace of God. Anybody goes. And I'm not apologizing for that. I go see lost people. I don't say, look, don't you want to not go to limbo? I say, look, don't you want to go to heaven? I don't go to sick people in the hospital and say, look, let me pray for you that you'll get to nirvana. I'm sorry, that's a big word for South Carolina people. You're not going to float around out there in outer space or something? You get saved, you'll go to heaven. And there's only two places to go, heaven or hell. So you have to make up your mind. I'm not ashamed of that. If you are ashamed of that, maybe you're not going. My mama never owned a house. We lived in six different houses she rented. And we grew up in rented houses. She never owned a car or anything. I'm about through. Hang on. I hear bellies growling. The meth is already through eating. Mama lived in six different houses. We moved many times. She never owned a thing. But let me tell you something. Mama's got a home in heaven.
Amen.
Mama's in a mansion that'll never fade away.
Amen.
Why would I be ashamed of that? That's where we point people to, is heaven. You can join our church, still die and go to hell. But if you get saved, you'll go to heaven. I can baptize you, like Boy Falkenberry used to say, till you wrinkle. If you're not saved, you're not going to heaven. He said if you could get saved by baptism, every catfish in the top river would be in heaven. I'm not ashamed of heaven. I'm going to preach two funerals this week. And I'm going to talk about heaven.
Amen.
That's our hope. And we only have that hope through the gospel of Jesus Christ. You receive him, you go to heaven. You don't, you go to hell. It's that simple. You judging me, preacher? No, you judge you. You make that decision. I don't know who's going to heaven. I know I am. I was there when I got born again. I believe with all my heart my mama did. But I can't tell nobody else that. But I can invite you to go to heaven. 12 years. That's what we've been preaching. 12 years. That's what we believed. If you come back in 12 years and I'm still alive and these people still here and Jesus hadn't come, it'll be the same thing. It's the same thing. Now, what about you today? Do you believe the gospel? Has it changed you to be compassionate and loving? Has it changed your house? Has it made you love God's house? Has it made you looking forward to going to heaven? Well, that's what Christianity is. Now, Brother Ron, I know there's some people tired right now and they're aggravated at me, but they're going to eat and they'll stay 2 hours eating. This is your payment. If people come to this church, you know what I did when I went to church that first time at 23 years old? I was going because somebody else asked me to. I didn't believe in church, didn't believe the Bible. Of course, I never read it. But somebody asked me, so I went. And that day I heard the gospel. And God, the Holy Ghost, touched my heart. And I couldn't get away from it. And every time, as long as that preacher lived, I'd go back to that church. It was the same old, old story of thank Jesus yes. and His love. Folks, that's why we're here. We're not here to have the biggest church in town. We probably never will. I don't expect sinners to come traipsing down here just because we got a building. We may not have the most sophisticated, as long as I'm pastor, you know that ain't going to happen, services. We may not have the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. But these are the things we will have. And it'll change a heart, and it'll change a soul. It'll change a life. It'll change the world. I wish they'd let me in the White House. I'd preach the same message. We got a good president. I'm kind of thinking he might get to get saved. But I didn't vote for a preacher. I voted for a president. But I kind of think he might need a little bit of this. We got politicians that need it. We got pulpits around this town that need it. And I'm going to be true to that. How about you? Let's stand. Father, thank you.